This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Hi there, folks, and welcome to TV Tuners. It's a television podcast for the true fanatics.
Nice.
It's a weekly dive into the latest in TV news and reviews. I'm your host, Swanson. With me, as always, is my co-host and policeman who's really obsessed with this case, Stairmaster.
What's her name? What was her name?
I don't know, man. Get that sword away from me.
It's a dirk, not a sword.
Excuse you?
That's what they call them back in the very big knives. That's what they called them.
Dirk?
Yeah, dirks. Or actually, Yes, I'm going to stand by that statement.
Yeah, it's a type of stabbing implement.
If I'm wrong, we'll provide instructions on how to correct me in just a bit.
Preferably with a dirk or a shiv. maybe a shank. Anyway, with us as always is our other co-host and... medium who keeps going into seizures, Kieran. Oh boy, get out of your hypnosis.
Oh, I'm fine. How's it going?
You were like foaming at the mouth and stuff. It was pretty wild, dude.
Yeah, where am I? What are we doing?
What did you see? What did you see?
Oh, I saw this lady get stabbed. It was pretty gruesome.
Oh. Uh-oh.
I was like, whoa.
Die.
Same.
Yeah, if there's one thing I hate, it's when specifically women die.
Yeah. It's kind of a universal thing, right?
Well, we're allies on this podcast.
Right. We do not condone the death of women under any circumstances.
Yeah, and that makes us feminists.
Yep. Hashtag feminism. Anyway, welcome to TV Tuners. It's a podcast where we talk about TV and all of its permutations. If you like what you're hearing so far, consider subscribing. We're on all of the podcatchers of your choice, Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and more.
No way. Swanson, you're lying.
We're also on Transistor FM.
That's right. That's where you can find the podcast at our home on beautiful, spacious Transistor FM. And if you're there, why not go ahead and give us a subscribe, maybe some 5 stars. You know, we really could appreciate it. It would be nice to see that.
Yeah, if you don't like
up to that,
if you don't like what you've been hearing, give us 5 stars and subscribe.
Yeah, and then make sure that when you're giving us 5 stars, you write a review saying, "I didn't like this, but I did it anyway because they told me to." And if you want to follow us on Twitter and get the latest in television gossip, you can follow us at TV Tuners on Twitter.
Yeah, our Twitter feed is full of television content. There's this brilliant thread on here.
No.
Oh, you don't want to toot our horn here about this great television thread?
It's not good enough. That's okay, but I don't think it's talk about on the pod.
Stair's getting artist remorse.
Stair's just being modest.
Anyways, yeah. You can contact us if you have any comments, quips, or foresights, or otherwise, and we'll respond unless Swanson ruins my notifications like he usually does.
You can slide into our DMs, and you know, I'm just checking up on Stairmaster to make sure he's doing a good job as social media liaison.
Yeah, now retweeting pornography again.
Yeah, you know. And, of course, you can use the hashtag TVTuners, and we'll give a glance at what you're saying. And as always, if you have any quips, comments, foresights, or otherwise, you can send them to us at tvtunerspodcast@gmail.com. What's that email, Kieran?
We have an email?
That's right.
Oh my god. So I'm guessing if we had an email, it would probably be like tvtunerspodcast@gmail.com. Is that right?
That's right. You can be like Seymour Butts. That sounds
legit. What?
That's a legit name right there. who sent us this email. What the heck? I don't even know you anymore. All right, promising start.
What?
Dear TV Tuners, as an avid listener, I decided to go onto your Twitter one day, and on your Twitter, I noticed a very good picture of an anime girl. It was very well drawn. The aspect ratio was just right. I even saved it. However, when going back onto your Twitter the next day, I saw that the picture was gone. Removed! This made me very sad, as I felt like this has removed a layer of communication between me, as a fan, and the podcast. As I felt like the picture represented more than a cute anime waifu. Rather, it represented a look into your own personal interests that aren't always brought up and discussed on the podcast. And I would like to know if you would be so kind as to retweet the image again and open your hearts to your fans in the future.
All right.
Thank you.
That sounds reasonable.
Yours truly, Seymour Butts. Well, Seymour, to talk about this issue more, I think we do have to give it over to our social media liaison, Stairmaster.
Well, can you please explain how this all transpired? Because I was not involved in this at all. I had nothing to say about this. I was
I remember this differently.
I saw this picture of Mordred from the Fate franchise. She had this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fairly innocuous. I decided to retweet it just because I think I was high at the time.
And then,
like, 2 days later, Swanson was like, dude, what the fuck is this? What have you put on our fucking timeline? And he logged into the TV Tuners account without my permission. And
I have the password and have created the account.
He did not consult me before taking this move, and I would like to apologize on his behalf.
Yeah, I was uninvolved in this entire process.
Yes. Yeah, Kieran was actually just there saying that he didn't understand what television was. And that he would not.
I still don't know. You haven't explained it to me.
It's the box.
Yeah, I can see the box.
Where knowledge comes from.
I can see the box. I've looked at the box. I don't know what's in the box. I don't know where the box is. I don't know who made the box.
In the box is TV.
What are you talking about?
In the box is TV.
I can watch the same thing on my computer. The same exact thing.
What is the computer but another box?
Yeah, it's not a TV, though. It's a computer.
Computer can be TV.
Also, I have a dark confession to make. I actually was involved in this.
Yeah, oh. Kyo insisted it was too horny.
Well, I said it was a 3 out of 10 on the horny scale.
Oh, okay. What's the maximum that we should have on our TV Tuners Twitter then?
Like a 3.
Listen,
out of 10.
I think we can cap out at a 2 out of 10. You could post anime girls, but there cannot be any midriff showing. No bikini tops.
Was there midriff showing in this photo? I don't even remember.
Like a bit of a midriff.
Oh, that's too much. That's more. Yeah, that takes it into 3 out of 10 territory right there.
Well, yeah, anyways, so I retweeted it.
Yeah, well, there you go, Seymour. You can go ahead and look upon it in despair
and smile.
Oh yeah, do that instead.
What right. top is this, Stare? I'm looking at this top. It looks like a bikini top to me. Is it a tube top? Is that what that
it's
is?
Kind of like a tube top.
I don't know. There's also cleavage here. This is definitely a 3 out of 10.
Most women have breasts.
Cleavage? Know. Ooh, that sounds like a 4 out of 10.
Listen, I'm hopefully in the future, Stairmaster, when you post these anime photographs on the TV Tuners Twitter page, they're wearing like a business suit.
All right. I'll find one of them.
But not like a form-fitting one, just like a...
Yeah, like a baggy business suit.
Yeah.
All Ask right. yourself okay. what Sigmund Freud would think, Stairmaster.
All right, I've retweeted an image of her in a business suit in 5, 4, 3.
You found that really fast.
All I had to do was type into Google.
Oh, okay.
Wow. That's why he's a social media liaison right there.
And I would not be able to do that. I would be just scratching my head like, what's this on the computer? Where...
And since it's a tweet, Swanson can't undo it easily. You'll have to do 2 extra steps.
Yeah, I'll never do that.
All right.
My noted laziness will get me once again. Anyway, what'd you guys watch this week? Anything interesting?
Oh, I've just been playing Mountain Blade Bannerlords, the latest release in the video game dome.
Wow, what a nerd.
Yes.
Is that the latest release in the video game dome? Not like...
Yes, it came out on Tuesday-ish.
Didn't, like, another big game come out on Tuesday?
No, that was last week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Doom and Animal Crossing, I think...
Isn't Doom Resident Evil 3 coming out soon?
Yes, Resident Evil 3 is coming out soon. Well, the remake of Resident Evil 3 is coming out soon, but I've heard bad reviews about it. Like, they've... Yeah. Like, it's way shorter than the original game, and they've taken out the branching paths. And actual set pieces like the clock tower aren't there, from what I've heard.
What bullshit.
Yeah, that's stupid.
As someone who, like, really enjoyed Resident Evil 3 as a child.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Like, Capcom was not under any time pressure to get this game out, so I don't know why the fuck they did this.
Especially when the 2 remake was so good.
Yes, universally beloved.
I fully agree with all the things you've said, but I also want to add that Mountain Blade sounds like a really fun game. You get to go, like, on Mount Everest, and you have a sword.
No, you very much cannot go on the mountains.
Oh, so it's a very fake-sounding game. It's very fake name.
Mount and Blade.
Because
there's horses, and there are blades.
What do you do in this
game?
It's a action RPG sandbox. The typical progression is, like, you become a traveling mercenary and then, like, become a vassal. And then eventually you can start your own kingdom in this not-Europe world.
Ooh.
No mountains, though.
There are mountains on the world map.
But you can't go on them.
No, they are barriers to travel.
Wow, it's the opposite of Mountain Blade.
There are mountain bandits, though.
Ooh.
Ooh. Mountain bandits, not mount and bandits.
No.
Okay.
There are step bandits who are mounted on horses, though.
Man, we need to get
bandits, like they're your stepdad?
No, like step with an E. Because they're on the plains.
Okay, well, we need to get a mountain bandit onto the podcast and a step bandit onto the podcast for a debate.
And have them fight?
Well, not fight, but debate.
Oh, that'd be fun too, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I heard that mountain bandits are vigorous debaters.
I hear they have higher defense stat.
How's that work in a debate, though?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, defense is kind of a primary part of debate.
They have higher morale. They have moral stamina.
Oh, yeah.
So it takes more rhetorical attacks to bring them down to zero.
Okay, I can't wait for this to happen.
Well, Stairmaster, all of us talk of video games leads me to believe that you didn't watch Better Call Saul this week?
I gotta go to the bathroom. Bye!
Yeah, you better run away to the bathroom.
See you later.
You had one job, and it was to watch one TV show, and
You had to play Mountain Blade.
Yeah, I had to stab all those peasants.
Well, I guess we gotta do
it. That sounds pretty worth it.
Yeah. I guess we got to do a spoiler-free Saul cast.
Or you can do it without me.
What are you going to do?
Go to the bathroom.
Oh, all right.
Good luck.
Oh.
Is he gone? Right.
There he goes. Wow. All right. Hello and welcome to the Saul cast. This is where we talk about Better Call Saul. Stairmaster made an egregious mistake and did not watch this week's episode, which was a very good episode.
Yeah, I want to say the standout scene for me was where Jimmy was, or Saul, we should say, was consulting with Lalo.
Is it because that Lalo is a sociopath and he is very scary?
He's like beyond a sociopath.
He's like, oh yeah, no, no bail. No deal. No, you're going to get me out.
And he coins a new motto for Jimmy, Saul, just make money instead of justice matters most.
Yeah.
Yeah, this makes me think that Lalo was like, the way he was acting and portrayed in the scene made me think he was literally the devil.
Yeah, he might be. It might be revealed that he is, in fact, the Baba Yaga, not to be confused with John Wick.
Yeah, no good. Yeah. what was your standout moment in the episode?
I have a Lalo standout moment too, which is actually just a very subtle thing he does, which is when Jimmy mentions that he has his family in the background, the fake family that Jimmy hires for him. He looks over and sort of like waves at them. and like gives him like a nod. It's very, very good. But my standout scene is actually Gus and Nacho destroying the Los Pollos Hermanos restaurant.
Oh, that was sick.
It was a very great like editing sequence too, in terms of like cutting between the two of them, and they're very different approaches to how they're doing this.
Yeah, but both of them, despite having different approaches, it was cut so rapidly and with such intensity.
Yeah.
Also, the music choice was just, I don't, it's always interesting how they find these songs that you would never imagine being used for this, and it somehow fits.
Yeah, and Gus does the old trick of turning on a fryer and setting a turkey on a pan and like precariously pricing it so that it will get there and just in time for him to have been gone already.
Yeah, and he does the super cool thing of not looking at the explosion.
Yeah. I also, it's another tiny thing that I very much enjoy, but Gus admires the frying, like the cleanliness of the fryer before turning it on. Apparently the person who runs this Los Pollos Hermanos is doing a better job than Lyle.
No, we all know that Lyle did a great job, and all our hearts go out to Lyle.
Yeah.
Rest also, in peace.
Also, shout out to Mike, who's continuing to be becoming more and more the cleaner.
He did a lot of scrubbing this episode.
He essentially cleaned the very thing he did, which has to be pretty annoying, I would imagine. But anyway, good episode. Continuously worried about Kim. The end.
I think we're just in time. Stairmaster's back.
Is that the sound of Stairmaster's arrival from on far?
Yeah. Did you not hear the horn heralding his return?
Oh.
Hi, I'm back.
Yeah, just in time. We just finished discussing this very good episode that you didn't watch.
Well, I'm glad it's good.
Yeah, rest in peace, Kim.
Yeah.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Fuck!
It was real sad. Oh, yeah, slight spoilers, but Heal was also really fun in this episode.
Oh, that's good.
Great guy.
Yeah.
He didn't stand up guy.
No, he just told Jimmy that he had a friend who runs an Airbnb for him. I guess it wasn't an Airbnb because that wasn't around yet, but
yeah. I don't think there were any actual deaths this episode unless I was missing something.
Or like in 2004 times in Saul.
There was a metaphorical death of a place.
Oh. You mean gentrification happened?
No.
I think it was more literal death of a location, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anyway, and a character that we like very briefly see in Breaking Bad showed up this episode.
Oh, Walter White.
Oh yeah, my other standout scene was Gus just talking about food.
Oh my god, that was very great. Good. I gotta watch this episode.
I actually, now that you mention it, I do want those Southwest curly fries.
I'm gonna have to watch this episode as soon as we
listen. That description was so enticing. Swanson said this when we were watching, but I could watch a whole show where we just have Gus describing food.
Yeah, he's very, it's very good.
Just imagine like a Gus not. Like
a Gus cooking anime? Like yeah, cooking like, Papa?
Yeah, except it's not Gus cooking, it's just Gus going around experiencing food.
Yeah. Cooking Hermanos? Anyway,
I can actually see him doing that in the show, like, to
traveling?
Doing a cooking show to maintain his facade of being a good guy.
Oh.
That's probably what he would have transitioned to next.
That seems like something AMC would have done as their little web mini episodes.
Cooking with Gus.
Yeah.
And like he would like turn to the camera and be like, "Never use eggs."
Well, that is very that's a very broad.
Well, just for that one ingredient.
Oh.
Okay. Just for that one like dish.
Oh, okay.
Or he would be like, "Never only use cage-free eggs."
Oh, okay. Eggs hate it when you put them in cages.
They do. Hate it.
Yeah, we learned that from the Garfield cartoon. That was probably an episode like that, probably.
I've been watching a good bit of TV lately, so I got bad and good to talk about. So let's start with the bad.
Alright, I'm ready to dig into this bad. That's always more entertaining when something's not good.
Oh, really?
I watched all of Star Trek Picard.
Yeah, uh-oh. You've talked to me about this.
It was not good. It was not good, guys. Listen, I watched it mainly because for two reasons. Shoutouts to another podcast, We Hate Movies, does a Patreon episode on it. So I figured, why not? I'll watch more Star Trek Picard to hear these guys talk about it. And, you know, because I like Patrick Stewart and Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, we might talk about We Hate Movies a little bit later on this podcast for, like, 5 seconds.
Mm, okay.
Don't get your hopes up, Swanson.
And, yeah, it's not good. It starts out okay, I guess, and then it just...
Yeah, look to our episode on it, if you're curious.
Yeah, it starts out fine, and then it gets worse and worse.
I mean, it started off pretty iffy to me.
Yes. Okay, yeah, to be clear, it's iffy in the beginning because it takes so long to get going, and then the middle is fun, but, like, problematic, and then the ending is just awful.
At any point does it become Star Trek-y, like I mentioned on the episode, or...?
There's, like, an episode that is maybe Star Trek-y, and might just be because Jonathan Franks is there.
Didn't happen. We made it up.
So I have three, there's so many issues that I have with it that I boiled it down to three main things that I'm going to talk about, in order of least annoying to most. Number one, they follow the Netflix model, which I think is a recurring problem in serialized media now, of having too many episodes for too little plot. It's 10 Yikes. Episodes, but it has at most... six to eight episodes worth of plot in it.
Yeah, this is why I'm looking forward to Obi-Wan, because they've only got 4 scripts.
Yeah. It feels like even 8 episodes might have been pushing it. There's just a lot of stalling for time, and a lot of, like, trying to pad stuff out with stuff that doesn't matter.
Okay, I have a quick question here. How many shots of Picard looking off into the distance wistfully do they have to waste our time with?
Oh, per episode? Because there's a lot.
Yeah, give me an average per episode.
Per episode's probably like 5.
Oh, no.
How much homoeroticism is there in the flashbacks with Data?
Well, the flashbacks with Data only sort of bookend the series. They're only in the first and last episodes.
Oh.
But they are pretty, homoerotic.
I'm backed up.
The second thing that annoys me is... So, in the early part of the series, they established that Picard has a brain condition that makes his status terminal. So that at some point he is going... There's a death date, essentially, that he has that isn't, like, clear, but that at some point he will probably die. So that, you know, that's like a... That gives, like, pathos to everything, right?
So it's sort of like Professor X and Logan.
Yes, and that gives, like, pathos and stuff, just like it does in Logan, you would think, right? Wrong. At the end of the season, he dies, and then not even 3 minutes later is brought back in a robot body.
Oh my god. That looks
exactly like Picard.
Yes, that makes sense, because number 3 is something you told me about.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I'm still not done talking about how much I hate this part. Okay. So, they let him die.
Yeah.
Fine. Maybe you don't want to do a second season. I don't know. But then they put him in a body, and then they do all of these scientific loopholes in their script to explain why it looks exactly like Picard, and why, because it is Patrick Stewart, like 80-year-old Patrick Stewart doing this, why he doesn't have any superhuman abilities.
Also, why it's an old body, I assume. Yeah.
They have to spend like a solid minute explaining why all of this is... When they could have just not...
I'm trying to figure out what the purpose of this was, to have him die.
Because they needed something that was very emotional, and they didn't bother building up any of the other characters in the season, so Picard was the only one anyone cared about.
Wait. So they let you think he was dead for like 3 minutes, and then he's like, oh, I'm back?
Yeah.
He said they didn't build up any of the characters, but this is also 10 episodes long.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's great.
There's a character who kills someone... Says they're going to turn themselves into the Federation, and then is just there at the end with Picard.
Well, we don't know what the Federation legal system's like.
7 of 9, who is a very cool character from Star Trek Voyager, who once was Borg and is now a human again, reconnects herself with the Borg to move the Borg cube, and then it's just never explained. Why, like, no one grapples with the fact that she just reassimilated with the Borg.
Yeah, that seems like there'd be a big sacrifice.
Nope, she's just back. She's just normal and still like a kick-ass soldier. Anyway,
what happened to that girl's sister from episode one?
Oh, she gets saved and stuff. It's fine. She almost destroys the world, but don't worry, it's okay because she backed down, and that proves that all sentient, that all like synthesized life is like okay. That like makes the Romulans think, oh, it's fine, and they just leave.
Okay. So,
this is also part of my plan with my problem with 3, which is that the big finale, it revolves around the Romulans getting ready to destroy this planet because they're going to shout out a beacon that sends in like these people who, these robot saviors who are going to destroy all human life. If this sounds familiar to you, it's because it's the plot of the fucking Mass Effect trilogy.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Mass Effect 3.
Well, it is specifically, very specifically, the plot of Mass Effect 3.
Oh, I thought Picard was going to have to choose between two glowing orbs, and then...
No, they don't go that far, thankfully, but it is literally just the overarching plot of Mass Effect 3 put into Star Trek. It's baffling.
I thought Star Trek was supposed to lead the pack in these types of things, but they're just copying, because
Mass Effect was kind of ripping off Star Trek in some ways.
Well, once upon a time, Star Trek did lead the pack in these things, but now it's very much focused on whatever this is. This show is a show that feels like a show that has, like, big ideas and messages about, like, what it means to be in current society, but then it doesn't actually have any of that. It just wants you to think it did.
What did we give this on the pod? Did we give it a tune in or a tune out?
This was a tune out, I believe.
I gave it a tune out.
Yeah, I think even I said it was a tune out.
I think it was probably a unanimous tune out, or maybe I, for some reason, said tune in.
Yeah, and maybe you're a Star Trek fan and you're listening to this and you have, like, an alternate opinion. Maybe you thought this was better. Maybe you thought this was better. I don't know. I just couldn't deal with this all these logical loopholes. And, like, you can say that that's a lot of Star Trek, but, like, a lot of it is better than that.
If you disagree, maybe send us an email
telling
us why you disagree, and we'll read it, and then laugh, and then go to bed.
We'll say something for sure.
In more jovial news, and also in another rousing edition of Swanson Finally Catches Up with TV, I watched the final season of BoJack Horseman.
Oh?
Oh, goddamn, what a stellar show.
Is that horse happy now?
Oh, maybe. He could potentially be happy. Uh-oh. Let's say that. For the first time in his life, he might potentially be happy. Outside of that horse man, everyone else is happy.
Oh no!
So that's good, I guess. it's a devastating season that's equally touching. It's weird how this show is capable of drifting between like extreme pathos and extreme like comedy. It's incredible. It's one of my favorite shows that I think I've ever watched. The final two episodes are amazing, particularly the penultimate episode, which is like no spoilers, but it's one of the best things I've ever watched.
You heard it here, folks. BoJack Horseman is better than The Wire. Jesse Swanson, 2020.
Sure, I'll say it's good. It's as good as The Wire or close. It's in the pantheon of great TV.
Okay, well maybe one day I'll watch that, like in 2050.
Yeah, I'm not gonna bother spoiling it because I do legitimately want you and everyone listening to watch it. It's a good show.
Speaking of The Wire, I heard you've been watching The Plot Against America. How's that going?
I'm actually behind with the latest episode, but I did watch episode 2, and it's all right.
Uh-huh.
No, it's nothing amazing so far.
Oh, you made it sound like you had thoughts when we talked.
I mean, you know, they follow the trajectory that we thought they were going in, which is that, you know, Lindbergh wins the presidency.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Thanks to the endorsement of that rabbi that we see, who's played by John Turturro.
Wow.
That's no good.
Yeah. And I imagine things only get worse from there. Anyway, okay. Let's move on and talk about the news, huh?
Wait, did we ask Keo?
I'm assuming Keo. I don't know. Maybe Keo watched something.
Well, every time Stairmaster turns to me and asks me what I watched, the answer is I didn't watch nothing.
Okay, how's One Piece going?
Is he the
king of the pirates yet?
Yes, Luffy. Luffy killed Gold Roger.
Wow.
Gold Roger?
No, Gold D. Roger.
No, Gold Roger.
No, his name is Gold D. Roger.
Gold D. Roger is already dead at the beginning of the series. He killed Gold Roger.
Oh!
I finished the Skypiea arc, and then I'm taking a break now.
Oh, he's tired.
Ooh, he's taking a sleepy. He's taking a sleepy. Taking a sleepy.
He got tired out after the Shocky Boy. He's taking a break right before Luffy puts on blackface.
Oh, that's a good
that's
idea.
Fun.
Maybe you should take a permanent break.
Yeah, he's already killed God, so.
Does One Piece have a lot of filler?
Yes.
Yeah, it does. Fortunately, there's handy guides online on how to skip it.
All right. Well, let's move on to the news, huh?
Is there any?
There's one.
One thing happened?
Yeah, coronavirus. No, amid all of the coronavirus news, there was one shining beacon of light. Ooh. Elliot Stabler is back.
Who?
If you're wondering who that is, that's the white guy the male lead in SVU who is an Ice-T.
What do you mean he's back?
Well, he left the show a couple seasons ago. If you recall the episode we did on Law and Order, he's not in it.
Oh, then I wouldn't recall that at all.
Well, you wouldn't. He's not in it. It's just Ice-T and Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah.
So 9 years actually after he left the series. And broke up the central dynamic. He's back. He's returning to the Dick Wolf universe for a Law Order SVU spinoff. It's currently titled Unnamed Stabler Show. But it has been ordered by NBC to 13 episodes.
I hope the title that makes it to air.
He gets a spinoff of Night Ice-T, the one that everyone loves.
Well, I mean, presumably they're keeping Ice-T on SVU.
I guess, yeah. I guess the show would die without him.
Yeah. This Stabler show is apparently going to follow the titular detective as he goes around, as he runs an NYPD unit dedicated to fighting organized crime.
Oh, that's cool. So it's like The Wire.
He's coming.
Which takes place in the same universe as Law and Order, by the way.
Wait, but is it still Special Victims?
I guess special victims of, what if you count, like,
no,
the mob as a special
normal.
Victim.
No, these are normal victims, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, this is not organized, crime rape.
It's not gang rapes.
No, yeah, it's probably just
mobs.
Mobs.
Well, it could be human trafficking, though, that could be what it is.
I think it's just mob-related stuff, since it's in New York, it'll be like, hey, we're mobs here.
Okay, hey. So it's an SVU spinoff in the sense that it had a character from SVU, but he's not doing SVU stuff at all.
Yeah. No, he's not. He's just working with the NYPD to bust Tony Soprano and his boys, even though they work in Jersey.
Yeah, it's like how Picard has Picard, but he's not doing Star Trek stuff.
Yeah. Are they going to finally use my idea of using a CGI?
James Gandolfini?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good, yeah. Have him just be like, hey, you think you can take me down? You think you got what it takes, Stabler? Because they would have to have a confrontation at some point.
Oh, of course.
And Stabler would be like, I'm going to beat you up, man. He's like, oh, try it. I'll have my lawyers down here in 2 minutes. I don't know how that accent... I don't know how that Tony Soprano impression is going. It's been years since I've watched the...
It's not very good.
Well, you do a better job. Go ahead.
Hey, Christopher!
Oh, wow.
I'm a ghoul!
It sounds like he came back.
Wait, why did he start babbling like a baby?
No, that's that's what Italians are very baby-like. They say
Well, I didn't watch as much of The Sopranos as you did. I, for some reason, gave up on it. I'm not sure what's wrong with me to do that, but I got 3 seasons in, and I was like, all right, I've had my fill.
One dream sequence too many.
I got to the part where Christopher got shot by those random dipshits.
Oh, yeah, I forgot neither of you have finished The Sopranos. Jeez.
Yes.
We should have done a Sopranos bonus podcast.
Oh, no.
Well, all that being said, I do not recall him ever making those noises, but maybe
remember,
he does it later.
There's always a scene, that, like, there's a scene in the pilot where they're at the strip club, and he's like, oh, baby, go, 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 go.
Oh, hey, ladies, I'm walking here. I'm wanking here.
Oh, ladies, hey. Oh, hey, I'm wanking here.
Well, I don't remember that, but that sounds amazing. I should probably go rewatch that since I'm sure that's what happened.
Yep, that's almost a direct quote.
Almost.
Almost. Stabler is still going to be in New York, which means that there's always the chance for a crossover event with his old pals from the SVU. Maybe after like a Super Bowl episode or something. Like an after Super Bowl episode.
If we're still having Super Bowls.
Yeah. If this episode, if this show even happens, since it needs to, you know, be written and produced still.
Yeah.
Anyway, only time will tell, but the motto is always the same for Dick Wolf, just make money.
Nice.
Anyway, what a funny name. Dick Wolf, yeah. It's almost as good as the commissioner of the Olympics being named Dick Pound.
Yeah.
It's very good. Anyway, that's it for the news, guys. I'm sorry. I don't have any more news for you. But we do have a segment.
Oh, yeah, finally.
A new segment. It's Stairmaster's Review Corner. Hit the theme, Keo.
Bum, 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 bum. Stairs gonna review something.
All right. So, I mean, Swanson came up with this collectively.
Yep.
I was busy making a spot of tea.
Yes. So the rules are I hit random on random article on Wikipedia. And whatever I get, I have to review.
Okay.
So,
This is a little better than the time you just read the Wikipedia article.
Yeah, you know, I punched it up.
Remember, this is Swanson's idea. He came up with it all by himself.
Oh, so wait. We're not a brain trust now?
All right, so Grundy County, Iowa.
Oh, uh-oh.
All right, so, it's named after this guy, Felix Grundy. That's fun.
Hmm, okay.
He was the Attorney General under President Polk. That's fun. Its population isn't that great. Only 12,000.
All right, but what was its role in the infamous Iowa caucus?
Oh, man, I gotta look this up. Grundy County, Iowa caucus. Results, 2020.
I'm on the edge of my seat right
Grundy
now.
Grundy County, 100% reporting. Ooh, that went to Buttigieg.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Yeah, 28.3% of the state delegates.
You hate to see it. This sounds like it's not going to be a good review.
Our boy Bernie only got 21.7% of the votes at delegates. Wow. Compared to Butt Chug's 28.
Okay,
yeah, I'm going to give that a 2 out of 10.
The Wikipedia article or the city?
The county. I think everyone in there should be burnt to the ground.
Oh,
wow.
Bernie voters will understand.
I mean, I guess I can't argue with it.
Well, okay.
Unless you're a listener and you live in Grundy County, in which case,
Sorry, the fire is already coming.
Well, what score did the article get, though?
0 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't fun to read at all.
All right, well, okay. That's a rousing segment there. I'm sure we'll go back to it sometime.
Tremendous success.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and take a quick smoke break. As always, right before we take a drag of our cigarette, our collective cigarette, we like to remind everyone...
Oh, Swanson, we've discontinued doing that due to the pandemic.
Oh, yeah, I guess we're not in the same room anymore, so I'm just
also,
smoking by myself.
Yeah, we're not supposed to be smoking either, since it's a respiratory...
What am I going to do with this pack of menthols?
Eat it.
Eat it?
I would suggest throwing it in the trash.
Oh, that sounds like wastefulness.
I think you should take the cigarette and put it in your mouth and chew it and then swallow it.
Oh, no!
There's like fiberglass and stuff in this.
I would recommend not doing that. That's why they put fiberglass in it. To stop all the cigarette eaters.
That's right. That's why they did that. As always, we like to remind folks that we are part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. There's tons of great podcasts here on Big Heads Media, including this one, Crazy Train of Thought. It's an improv podcast that dabbles in pop culture and just anything that comes to their minds. Go ahead and give it a listen.
All right, everybody on the train, all aboard, you snooze, you lose.
Buy my loot boxes.
Not you! Get off the train! Don't let him on.
Oh, okay.
All right, listen here, Greenhorn. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know about how to conduct a podcast. First thing you need to know is never stay on topic, ever.
Sir?
What do you want?
People are complaining about the Venom movie still.
I don't care. Feed them Justice League or something. Get them off my back.
Copy.
But, sir, it says in the book that you need to stay on topic as a podcast.
Screw the book, Greenhorn. The book was written by dinosaurs. Second thing you need to know is never report news that's not at least 2 or 3 weeks old.
Sir?
What do you want?
People are complaining about the Pokemon Go update.
I don't care! Just gag them or something! Shut them up!
On it.
Sir?
What do you want, Greenhorn?
I think the train might be going off the rails.
That's exactly how we run this show. This is the Crazy Train of Thought podcast, brought to you by the Idiot Savants. Find us anywhere you listen to podcasts.
www.crazytrainofthought.com.
Oh boy, those guys are wild. And you know what?
Wow.
They're crazy too.
Just like us.
Yeah, we're wild and crazy guys, and so are they.
We're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, truly.
I'm very calm right now.
No, you're crazy, actually. You're hysterical. Get yourself together, Stare. Man.
Stare, no, we have chill. You. We have you on webcam, and you're like doing this kind of like dance routine right now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right. I'm the Joker.
Yeah, you are really dancing. You're dancing on steps. I don't know how you got your computer out there.
Oh no, I just had to get the webcam out there.
Well, I love that suit you're wearing though. It's really, really yeah, stylish.
You like my face paint and my gun?
Well, I don't like the last part.
Well, I don't mind. I don't mind the gun.
By the way,
recording.
I'm going on Fallon tonight.
Oh, that's a good choice.
I think it's going to be a riot.
Mm. Satire.
We have fun here on TV Tuners, don't we?
I think the real question would be how Stairmaster's going on Fallon when Fallon is currently being recorded remotely.
He's gonna shoot his camera.
He's going to his house.
I'm glad that's the part that you're poking at.
Anyway,
what else will we poke at, Stair?
Yeah, what else is there?
Yeah, you're right.
Let's go ahead and talk about another segment near and dear to everyone's hearts. Ooh. It's Trailer Blazers. Hit the theme, Stairmaster. Ooh, nice. Little curb your enthusiasm. Anyway,
so let me tell you guys a little story from my personal life.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, this is unprecedented.
This is personal. This is something that actually happened to me a few years back. It's a little hard to talk about, but sorry.
It's a little. Take your time.
Okay. So a few years back, my grandfather, he called for me to visit him in the garage.
Oh, no!
Uh-huh.
So I walked into the garage, and I didn't see him anywhere.
Oh, no!
But that's strange.
But I could still hear his voice calling out to me.
Oh, no.
He said, Keo, come over here. And I could still hear him, but I didn't know where he was. So I walked over to the countertop in the garage. Oh, God. So I look at the countertop, and the only thing I see there is a pickle.
He turned himself into a pickle?
Yeah. It was crazy. Funniest thing. Funniest thing.
Wait a minute.
What did he say?
He said, hey, Keo, I turned myself into a pickle.
Did he call himself anything?
Yeah, did he like, give himself a moniker, perhaps?
Yeah.
Yes, give us your grandfather's name, Keo. Then what is the address of this garage?
Now, is this like a loving memory of your granddad? Is it like a traumatic one?
It's very traumatic, but then you said it was funny, so I'm kidding.
Listen, I laughed so hard. I fell over and hit my head.
Oh, but you didn't land on him and crush him, right?
No.
But he was a pickle, so it wasn't going to be very hard for him to sort of do anything to deal with that.
Yeah. So, you know, I've got brain damage now.
Oh, Well, that explains a lot. Yeah, unrelated to that, we watched the new trailer for Rick and Morty. Yeah, completely unrelated. This is sort of like a sequel to last week's Trailer Blazers, where we watched Justin Roiland, the co-creator of Rick and Morty's other show, Solar Opposites, which is looks exactly like Rick and Morty.
Yeah, this is like 10% more novel.
Yeah.
Well, creative.
This trailer had a lot more quipping and less gratuitous violence, yes. I guess.
That's true. They did have like mech suits that they transformed into, which was fun.
And they're stabbing space bugs, but yeah. It's not gratuitous like the violence in the last trailer.
Yeah, that's nice. Rick and Morty really has leaned into the gratuitous violence aspect, hasn't it?
Yes. I assume that's replaced him going burp.
Yeah, was the Solar Opposites like his outlet because he realized it was getting out of control?
I don't know if they... Listen, animation takes a long time, especially when you're working like an Adult Swim area animation.
You're right. This was all probably made during the Obama presidency.
Yeah, maybe like the second year of Donald Trump. I don't know. But
we don't know when Solar Opposites got produced either, though.
That's true. I'm going to say that I don't think that he thought the violence got gratuitous yet, if they even bother listening to critics at all.
Hmm. Well, either way, this looks a lot better than Solar Opposites, so that's something.
Well, the thing that we talked about with Solar Opposites is that it looks like it's a thing that's already in the wheelhouse of Rick and Morty, so it seems like superfluous.
Yeah, it's something the world didn't ask for.
Yeah, like it looks like a blander version of Rick and Morty because they can't do nearly as much.
Yeah, because Rick and Morty's premise lets them do like whatever they want, really.
Yeah, and the Solar Opposite seems a bit more contrived for a premise, and that they have to stay, presumably they have to stay earthbound. Then in this Rick and Morty thing, we see everything. Rick and Morty's getting like turned into like a ball of light. Like Rick and Morty are fighting things. Summer seems to be a queen of some sort. You know, all sorts of stuff's happening.
Yeah, and the other show was just things dying for 30 seconds. Yeah.
And a baby vomiting.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious, though.
Sort of like the gross frog babies on Bleach.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're curious about what that's all about, we do have a bonus podcast you can check out. Look for it on the feed.
Well, yeah, they can't... Every Thursday. They not only can check that out, but they must.
We've already got two episodes.
Yeah, listen to Werner Herzog. You must listen to this.
Okay, important question. A bit of a tangent. But let's talk about Werner Herzog's Zanpakuto.
No, he would hollify. He would never make society.
Yeah. The very idea of the soul society.
The darkness within I shall cloak my exterior in.
The very idea of the soul society is garbage.
Werner Herzog died and became Euphoria. Can you say his name?
That poem at the beginning of Bleach is actually from Werner Herzog. I his know Aizen. I've met him many times. Very powerful man.
He's a fascinating name is character.
Ulquiorra.
Described the man at the end of history.
Urihara, I knew you would come.
Okay.
Yeah,
little
so...
Little Rukia wants to fly.
But she cannot. I feel like Werner Herzog might go to the Soul Society just to direct a documentary about the people who, like, live
yeah,
there.
Live outside the capital.
Yeah.
So he would have his Zanpakuto, but it would have no release.
Yeah,
form.
He would find a dead Shinigami and just take it off him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Look at these ruffians. They ride a pit boar around because they have no other animals.
So if you enjoyed that discussion about Werner Herzog in Bleach, you should check out the Thousand Year Bleach podcast.
That's right, every
Thousand
Thursday.
Year Bleachcast.
It says podcast in the title.
Oh no.
Anyway, yeah, Rick and Morty's, well, it looks fine. I'll probably watch all of it and be like, eh,
Yeah, I'll probably watch all of it and be mildly amused at parts of it.
Yeah. Just like last time.
Anything to pass these meandering hours.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for Trailer Blazers. So let's dive on in, huh? This week we watched a bit of an odd one. It is a Netflix show. In fact, I feel like it's been a bit since we've been on we watched a Netflix show. It's been a hot minute. Anyway, this is a special Netflix show in that it is an Austrian-German produced show for Netflix, with an English dub. It is called Freud, and it's about Freud.
So, fellas, subs or dubs?
I watched the dub, yeah.
Definitely
watched it subtitled.
Why?
Because it's the original language. It's how the creators intended.
Well, when I clicked on it on Netflix, the dub started playing immediately. I didn't have to switch anything.
Yeah.
You're not a
think
true
about
fan.
That? Oh, I'm definitely not a true fan.
Yeah, I let me give you a spoiler right away. I'm not a true fan of the show Freud.
Oh, no. Here's another spoiler. The cocaine shows up 4 minutes and 10 seconds in.
Yeah, they waste no time getting to the cocaine.
I was a little worried that they would not talk about it as cocaine, but it's very front and center in this.
You can tell this is not an American show, because if this were an American produced television show, this would definitely have been called Young Freud.
Oh no.
Also, there would have been an extended sequel to him getting high on cocaine.
Yeah.
And losing his mind.
The Germans are a bit more restrained in this regard. And only this regard. So yeah, it opens with him trying to hypnotize this woman who we learn is his housekeeper.
Yes. He's trying to run a con on the scientific community.
Which is strange, because I've taken a couple psychology classes in my day. The one thing I never picked up from Freud in this was that he was a con man.
It seems very down on his luck. He's 3 months behind on rent.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's weird. I don't know. I'm not a historian on Freud, but I'm pretty sure at this point he was sort of just like a decently he wasn't like respected or anything, but he was like, it's weird how they make him seem incompetent in this show.
But also they make him seem very fuckable. This Freud is a snack. I mean, I don't like. I think the beard is a little bit much, but
I feel like, yeah, this Freud. I guess this Freud's kind of cute. I would prefer the beard to be, I don't know.
Yes, different. It's period accurate.
I guess, yeah. He probably smells like shit, to be fair. Which, to be fair, everyone probably does, but
Europeans didn't invent bathing until 1972.
I mean, there's only so clean you can get when there's no indoor plumbing.
Yes.
I
can't wait for the angry emails telling us that indoor plumbing has been in Vienna since 17 whatever the fuck.
No, there's a river of shit running down Vienna right now.
Yeah, it still isn't there. They're eating garbage.
We get introduced to Freud. He's all like, yeah, you want some cocaine, miss? We don't get the answer to that, but I presume it's yes.
Also, he doesn't snort it, unfortunately. He's like using it as a solution in his water.
Yeah, he's just drinking some Coke water. Wait, does this mean he came up with Coca-Cola?
Yes.
Yes.
In the next episode, I'm predicting he's going to have a red can that he...
Incident. Oh, wait.
And he puts the cocaine in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
That's
yeah,
gonna
he's,
be out of season ends. He's
kind of like
cocaine.
Sherlock Holmes, only instead of... I guess, is it still cocaine in Sherlock Holmes, or is it heroin?
No, it was always opium for Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. He's like an inverse of Sherlock Holmes, in that he does cocaine, and he's only tangentially solving mysteries.
He solves an inverse proportion of mysteries.
Yes. So we cut to cops. These police boys are here. And that this is a murder, all right.
Yes.
This lady's been murdered.
And the man in charge here, Ivo Kintobor.
Yes. This dude just looks like Robotnik.
Yes,
is that historically accurate garb?
Oh, you mean the red jacket with the little buttons on the side and the little potting the construction hazard signs on it.
Yeah, I think that's accurate, but I don't think the music that plays when he comes in is accurate when they said, I am the Eggman!
It's like, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Yeah, I don't believe the Austrian policeman died after six hits.
Yeah.
I was pretty hyped for that, though, but...
It is really strange that...
they quickly discarded the whole musical theming in the hover pod.
Yeah, I mean, it was really weird because, like, he tells the other guy, it's no use, give up. Anyway...
Yeah, he finds his dead body and he's just like, ah!
No, it's not...
Don't help us predict it!
It's not a dead... But it's real, it's not a dead body. It's she's alive for the moment.
And so they immediately
like,
have
he's
to
like,
start...
He's like, no way, I can't believe this!
All systems, full power, he says. He, they pick her up and go find a doctor. And just like in Bleach, they take her to the wrong doctor.
Yeah, they... So this is a good thing here. We have the police and the landlords are all acting super shitty in this one. Bad landlords
like real
and
life.
Bad... Yeah.
Historically.
Well, I feel like these guys are way shittier. They just barge into a doctor's room, throw his shit on the floor, and then just like, operate now! As if they had, like, and
as
Freud is like,
officers.
Freud's like, I'm like a psychoanalyst, my man. I'm not really cut out for this.
I don't know much about computers. My mom has installed some games.
That's pretty much
and
what
then
he
she,
says.
And then she dies, and they're like, well, good job, doctor.
Good
like,
job,
well,
you doctor, shit.
You fucking suck. That's what the portly guy who looks like he came off of Hogan's Heroes says.
And Dr. Robotnik's mad because he's a feminist, as we all know.
Yes.
I hate it when women die. I can't believe this.
Yeah. It was really strange because he kept referring to a blue hedgehog.
Oh, that
but we
was
never
the,
see that blue hedgehog.
That was the national animal of Austria-Hungary when they adopted a dual monarchy.
See, I thought that was some kind of metaphor. For crime or something.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, I could see that, I guess. Blue is traditionally a color associated with law, which is odd, so...
Yes.
But he, yeah, he, the lady dies and they just leave her there.
Yeah, they promise they'll send someone. And it seems like that nobody comes until the morning.
Yeah. So Freud just has to sleep with a dead body on his desk, I guess.
Yeah, that's how it was in the 19th century.
Yeah, I guess so. And Kinto Bar leaves and goes and talks with his superiors.
He found a button at the crime scene. He immediately identifies it as belonging to a regiment he used to be in.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he said it is that it's part of the Eggman Empire, which is in
I think the war that he references here is the Austrian invasion of Bosnia, which went very badly for them.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he wants to investigate further, and we get to Freud, and he's at a wild party.
Yeah, he gets invited by his friend Arthur Schneisel, a famous playwright and novelist.
Hmm.
Who
yeah,
was
he's,
once described as a pornographer and hated by the Nazis.
He seems kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, Freud, to be fair, Freud was also hated by the Nazis.
Yes.
For very obvious reasons.
His son, yeah, his son had to flee.
Well, he had to flee as well.
Annexation of Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, Freud also fled before he passed. What else happens here? Yeah, they go to this wild, crazy party, and then it's suddenly... So we get this odd introduction of this older woman and like her medium. Are they related? I'm not sure what the relationship between the two of them is.
White people confuse me.
Yeah. But it's a very odd introduction to them because it cuts away from the party to them, and then they're there at the party. And then, like, not long after this scene happens, there's a very abrupt cut to Illuminati shit.
Yeah, it's they're holding a seance.
Yeah.
So they can
like,
do Bleach-type shit.
We immediately get this cut to, like... what appears to be the precursor to Eyes Wide Shut.
Like, yeah, is this a show about a psychologist type guy? Or what's the...
Yeah, what is going on here? Because this lady enters the Phantom Zone.
And then she gets attacked by a goat type hollow.
Yeah. Yeah, she gets... she enters like this phantom zone and sees this naked man walking towards her covered in blood.
With like, and there's flashes of like a goat face or mask.
And then she has seizures and I guess everyone's like, party's over.
I mean, if your body isn't having seizures when you're having those sort of visions, something has gone seriously wrong.
I guess that's true. So then we get to my favorite scene, because I don't know if it's historically accurate or not, but I find it hilarious nonetheless. So Freud is about to give a lecture, because at this point in his life, he is a lecturer. He's able to do lectures. He goes in front of them to talk about hypnosis, and like all these doctors are acting like they're a live studio audience.
Oh, they're very silent for the speech. And I gotta admit, that speech did kind of get me.
Yeah?
Because I was watching the German one, so I guess this, presumably the English dub did not have good voice acting.
Oh, no, the voice acting was pretty solid, I thought.
I thought it was a captivating speech.
Yeah, I was also mildly captivated by the speech. Keo, what were your thoughts on the voice acting, since you also watched the dub?
I had no issues with the dub at all. Voice acting was good.
It was strange how they casted Johnny Young Bosch as Sigmund Freud.
But I did appreciate how he had hecklers at his
lecture. Yeah, they were all like, boo!
Boo!
Like, I was half expecting them to be like, ooh, when he started, like, bringing in a guest or something.
Yeah, I expected them to cut to the guys from the Muppet Show.
Yeah, Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah.
So he had coached his
young men during this time period.
Yeah, so he had coached his housekeeper on how to do this exact performance.
But it turns out he accidentally hypnotizes her.
Yeah. Also, she immediately clues in one Freud's like rival, I guess. Whoever this dude is, who shows up to be like, "Eh, I don't like Freud."
This makes me wonder though, what? How does hypnosis work in this world exactly?
Well,
but she does the wrong sign for seven, and that clues in the one guy, because obviously if you were deaf for that long, or mute for that long, you would understand something about sign language. But also, he hypnotizes her, like, actually this time. I mean, last time he didn't. And
he's unable to speak because he's reliving this fictitious trauma.
And I guess that's enough for everyone to be like, "Oh, good job, Freud! You suck shit, buddy!
You made this woman upset!
Good job, Freud! This proves nothing!"
Nobody tries to help this woman having a mental episode, by the way.
That's period accurate.
Just watch.
They take the opportunity to just continue laying into Freud.
Yeah. So, like, Freud, I guess, is just a big old loser. Like, he's like, because once he, well, we'll get to it, but he does it the third time and it also doesn't work. But we cut back to the,
the hero's journey.
Yeah, he tries three times, it doesn't work, and then he tries something new. That's the hero's journey, right?
Yes.
Also, yeah, he figures out, I guess, that the key to hypnosis is physical touch.
Yeah.
No, they mentioned that tactile hypnosis is already widely practiced.
Yeah, that form of hypnosis is, yeah. He's trying to find new forms of hypnosis, which is why he's doing the pocket watch thing.
Yeah, well, what we know about hypnosis today is that it's basically just a form of a willful suggestiveness.
Well, yeah, and to be fair with Freud, by the time he was like an actual respected psychologist, he was not using hypnosis at all. He was using free association.
I'm just wondering, though, if this world has different rules for it, because I don't understand exactly what he did to her.
These writers have different rules for it, that's for sure. apparently Freud is, what if it's like revealed Freud's a magician? He's got the touch. Touch.
He's going to have like an invisible ghost man that hovers next to him and.
Oh,
he channels
punches
his
people
power.
While shouting aura.
No, the ghost man hypnotizes people for him.
This is around the same time as the beginning of JoJo. So all these visions of demons and ghosts.
Was any part of the beginning of JoJo in Vienna?
No.
A shame. A missed opportunity for Dio to
of
meet
course
Freud.
They go to Italy in part two, famously.
Oh, yeah.
And part five, more famously.
So we cut back to medium lady. She's having a Blade Runner dream where she's on a horse riding around.
I think that's a pretty common dream. It's not
and been at that.
Well, I mean, you know, I think it's the most synonymous pop culture reference with riding horses in a dream.
Yeah, like riding horses in a dream, having all your teeth fall out, being at school.
Oh man, I get that so much.
I've had dreams where I've lost teeth like a couple times.
I don't think I've ever had a dream where I've lost teeth.
Yeah, I've had a dream where I lost like one tooth, but not had all my teeth fall out.
I had a dream where I was chased by dogs when I was a little kid. Oh, had anything?
Oh, poor baby. Are you all right?
Like, well, I mean, I don't have the dream anymore, so I must have.
Like big, scary dogs with teeth, or like just a group of like cuddly dogs you were running from?
Pretty sure it was big, scary dogs.
Okay, that sounds legitimately terrifying.
Yeah, so she has this dream, and then like she wakes up, and this the countess lady is just like, "Sleep, my child, sleep."
Yeah.
And so she goes back to bed.
Also, she has a big ass dog.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is a big ass dog.
That's all.
I would run away from it in my dream.
Same.
We go back to Kento Bor, and he's
going to the military headquarters.
Yeah, he's tracking down a lead, and we get this scene between these two men, and one of them is desperate for dick.
This colonel looks like the guy from We Hate Movies.
Oh, you were gonna say Eric Siska? Is that what?
Yes, but
I thought the same thing, but I wasn't gonna bring it up.
Yeah, I wasn't either, but you talked about the pod, so I was required to.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, if you're listening, you're in this show now. This dude is desperate for some D. Well, I think he just wants it in his mouth, apparently.
Oh, an oral fixation.
Oh. If only Freud were here.
And his lieutenant seems, you know, used to this.
Yeah.
Or they're gay, listen, one of the two.
When I saw this scene, the way it was staged, I was like thinking it was something sexual, and I thought maybe I was just a perverted little man.
No,
but
well, Freud show. If you're thinking it's sexual, it is.
What else were we supposed to think it was, Keo?
Well, before we started sucking him off, I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, but he doesn't really get to suck him off though, because they get a knock on the door, and that's when Robotnik comes in and says, "What's this?
Give up! You can't win."
And they take the one guy and they corner him in like an office. Yes. They corner him in like an alleyway, and he pulls out his sword.
His dirk.
Yeah, sorry, his dirk. He pulls out his dirk and he's like, "I'm gonna give you the dirk."
Famous Robotnik line.
Mm-hmm.
You won't get away with this.
And he does get away with it, because I guess like the commander is just hanging in by the window. This is such a weird thing, because the commander, like, I guess notices, because like, out the window, and he's just like, "Hey, cut that out. Enough of that."
Yeah, and he's immediately booted off the case.
Yeah. Yeah, Robotnik gets kicked off the case.
And since it's Europe, he doesn't even have a gun to turn in.
No, he doesn't get to turn in, he doesn't have to turn in his dirk, which seems unfair.
Well,
it would have been great if they were like, "Give me your dirk, give me your badge."
He should not be walking around with that deadly blade.
Yeah.
Freud is at this another rich people thing, I think.
Yeah, he's at a second rich people party, which is even more like Eyes Wide Shut.
Because it's a living painting.
Yeah, and there's people just naked everywhere.
It's cool, we get to see boobs.
Yeah, I guess that's good. looking at this, I had a thought, which maybe you guys can... tell me if I'm right or wrong here. Is Freud falso?
No, we have a scene earlier where he's sexting via correspondence with some lady.
Yeah, but sexting isn't really...
Does seem more like romantic than sexual?
Yeah, it's
the 19th century, so you gotta adjust for that.
I think it was like vaguely romantic.
It was Freud, horny. It was
is Freud falso, though?
No.
Because, I mean, he has to have been away for this lady for a while.
That would mean he's incel if he's away from the lady.
I guess that's true.
No, he could visit her if he wanted to, right?
I don't know.
I don't know Freud's life, man.
Maybe they explained this in episode 2.
The only thing I learned in psychology class were his theories, not his life.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he leaves the party after he gets drugged, presumably. and stumbles into the medium's room, and she's just like, "The fuck, get out of here! You're not supposed to be here." And he's like, "I'm looking for my fiance.
I just
want to
go home, please.
I'm looking for sex, please.
Mommy, please. I just want to come.
Won't
anyone fuck?"
And she sits down and is like, "Fine, let's hypnotize me." And he's like, "All right, sure." And he tries to do the watch trick, and she's like, "No, you suck. Do something else." So he does an actual form of hypnosis.
So yeah, he feels her up.
Yeah. He taps on her leg and he's like, "You feel that? That's hypnosis." And she sees like an underpass in Vienna or something.
Yes.
The canal. And apparently there's some tunnel in there where people are getting fucked up. Surgeries are happening or something.
Yeah, so I think it's a lady from the start of the episode that we see getting Jack the Rippered by the goat man.
Yeah. And as she's having these, she starts having more seizures, which is convenient timing because the Countess walks in and is like, "Freud, what are you doing?" And he's like, "Wake up from your hypnosis!" Because apparently he doesn't realize that's not going to work.
Yeah, they just kick him out instead of taking him to the police or murdering him.
Yeah.
When somebody has a seizure, the way to fix it is to yell at them.
Like I said, it's a 19th century, Keo.
Well, yeah, at least they didn't, like, slap her or anything.
Like, remember in The Prestige when they just stand there while the woman's drowning?
You're asking Keo to remember The Prestige?
Yeah, Keo, remember The Prestige?
Yeah, I remember The Prestige, the
with
movie?
Bale and Hugh Jackman.
And David Bowie.
The movie I watched the movie. Called The Prestige?
Yes, about magicians and it's a good rivalry.
It's a good movie, Keo, right? And David Bowie's there as Tesla.
Nikolai Tesla.
In case you were confused of another Tesla.
He means the car company.
He was there
Tesla.
as the car created by Elon Musk.
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep, I'm a car now.
Fun on the Autobahn.
Anyway, so we end with Freud leaving the party, his carriage filled with smoke.
Not crack smoke, though.
No.
I
presumably pipe smoke. And he has the carriage stopped and goes and checks out the canal, but it's too much of a chicken shit to go further.
I wouldn't go in there either, man.
Yeah, me either. Especially at the end when there's a scream, which he should have heard. He's not that far away. Like, he walks off, and then, like, 3 seconds later, there's a scream. It should have ended with him being like, "Huh?" And, like, he comes back.
No, he was not paying attention. He was, like, thinking about the moon or something.
Yeah, he was free associating.
I blame the cocaine. It's probably, you know, that does mess with your hearing.
Oh, that's true, yeah. That is a thing that they say that cocaine does.
Doesn't it also make you, like, really alert, though?
That's another thing that they say cocaine does. Someone say a third thing that they say cocaine does.
It raises your blood pressure, so it's...
It can make you really irritable.
Oh, okay. That means... We don't really see that in this episode, but, you know.
Hey, if anyone has cocaine, can you mail it to us?
Send it to us. Three separate locations right now.
No, email it to us.
Okay, cyber cocaine.
I'll settle for crack.
Yeah, maybe don't solicit it on the podcast. Satire. No drugs.
The views of Stairmaster do not reflect the views of TV Tuners or the Big Heads Podcast Media Network.
Yeah, this is a pro-abstinence podcast.
That's right. No drugs,
and
no sex.
We mean every form of abstinence you can engage in.
We're
we
straight
support.
Edge. So, any final thoughts on Freud?
The only thing I can say about this is that it is just strange.
Kind of interesting. Well, it's a very slow burn, I think.
It's a slow burn. Also, it doesn't feel, I don't know, it's mildly interesting, but I can't say that, like, I would want to watch anymore. It just feels like a weird mix. Like, Freud and the Occult is not, like, the occult is not, like, great.
Yeah.
I don't understand why this is a Freud show.
Like, someone, like, I guess maybe it could, like, be a fun idea if you were doing it in, like, an amplified, like, Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter type way. But, like, it's played very seriously and, like, not at all, like, amped up. So it just also, feels
he doesn't do anything cool this first episode at all.
No, he's a complete schlub this entire episode. He's just, like, all of his ideas on hypnosis are wrong and don't work. And then he has to resort to already established hypnosis techniques in order to get anything.
Yeah, what was the point of this?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm going to give it a tune out, probably.
Of course you're going to give it a tune out.
Tune out for me.
Tune out.
Yeah, this is, it's fine, but, like, not necessary, I don't think, at all.
I mean, when you hear Freud solving murder mysteries, you kind of get your hopes up.
I was hoping it was either cooler or stupider than it was. And it was just kind of bland.
Like, it was still pretty stupid, though, but not stupid enough, which is the problem.
Yeah. Like, this show should have went for it in some way.
Went for something, whether it be cool or stupid.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a tune out on Freud. And to tune in on psychoanalysis.
Yeah, you should probably just watch The Nick instead of the show.
Oh, yeah.
That's also about old-timey medicine at the turn of the century.
And it's better. All right, well, that's it for this week's episode of TV Tuners. Be sure to tune in on Thursday for another episode of the Bleach Cast.
Wow, what will we be watching this week?
Bleach.
Oh!
And as always, we'll be back here with another new episode on the main show next Tuesday.
We don't know what we'll be watching.
We never know. It's always...
Why not?
We spin a wheel and then we determine it.
Let's watch Doug.
All right. Watching Doug next week. Look forward to it.
Until until then, keep watching. Bye. Do 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 do.
Honk honk.
Hey folks, it's time for the TV Tuners Fact of the Week. Did you know that Stairmaster can juggle three beans?